We're going to go back to the calls in a second, but first, we go live to the other room where the champ, Mark Grandy, has this rant. Hello, Mark.
Mark angry.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's going on? Why are y'all ticked off?
Well, so I get where you guys are coming from in terms of information gathering and use the next 3 weeks to figure out really who you are and what you might need. And maybe you don't need to make a move at all. And maybe you learn that you do, and maybe something presents itself and you have a better ability to make that move then. I don't think there's anything that this team will do over the next 10 games that can possibly change my opinion that they're just simply nowhere near good enough. We've had 2.5 years of evidence that suggests they are a mediocre at best basketball team. And this year, it's been even worse than the last 2 years. And, you know, yeah, Kuminga could come back, but they were also pretty darn average with Kuminga in the first place.
Okay, go ahead. Finish up.
I feel like we're headed to another situation where the Warriors are going to say, well, you know, there was no right opportunity. There was no perfect opportunity for us to make a move at this trade deadline. So we're going to keep our optionality open and hope that something comes about in the offseason, which is the same exact thing they've done for the last 2 years, and nothing has worked. You're not going to have this magic pill that fixes all of your problems. There's no home run here. You're going to have to take a chance, take some sort of risk to get yourself out of this situation. And I just want them to take that risk.
So, okay, that's fair. But now we understand these comments that were made at the beginning of the week, Mark, they were directed at you. They were talking to you and others who share your opinion. And this would be my response to that. While I get where you're coming from, and Dibs, I don't know, I speak for you. I don't know what you think. While I get where you're coming from, I'm not in this mode of like the Warriors need to, as you put it, take the next week or 2 weeks, 3 weeks to learn who they are. We know who they are. We know who they are. And I understand that. That does not mean, in my opinion, you should do something stupid. And I think so. If we go back to the comments at the beginning of the week where Steph spoke about the responsibility that he feels toward the organization and that Steve Kerr talked about not being irresponsible, just because you want a deal doesn't mean that a good one presents itself. So what about that? Like the answer that you hate that they've given the last 2 years, what if I told you it's a fair answer? Like finding a star in the NBA is not just snap fingers, give first round picks, now we have a star. Like it doesn't work that way.
And I agree with the first 80% of your rant, and you're spot on, and you and I are absolutely in lockstep. But the last part of it for me is, therefore, don't make a trade. Don't make a big swing, because I'm with you, Grandy. I don't think that what we've seen over the last 2.5 years is remotely good enough, but I also don't think that there's anything out there in the next 3 weeks that is worth a big swing. If you want to make a small swing, like a ground ball to the right side to move a guy from second to third, I'm here for that sort of an at-bat.
What if we gave you your Twitter fingers back? So go ahead. What do you want him to do?
Well, I've been very vocal about this. I think Zion Williamson is the home run that this team can make. And you're going to have to get lucky, and you're going to have to hope that, one, you can make the money work and the Pelicans want to get off of him and that he stays healthy and that he takes care of his body. But if those things work, he becomes a player that helps you now and he helps you post-Steph. But if we forget about more like specific moves or specific players, just talk more so about the feeling the Warriors are giving me, it feels like they care more about the future post-Steph than the rest of the time with Steph.
Yeah,
really irks me.
I don't agree. I think that you are, this is me now.
I can understand me saying that probably if they were to hear that would piss them the hell off. That's how I feel.
And that's fine. And you're allowed to feel that way. But I do think you made that feeling up. I don't think they told you that. You may have heard that.
That's just how I feel based on the way that they're attacking this situation.
But you don't even know how they're attacking this situation.
They're attacking it with patience and still trying to figure out who we are.
For all you know, they're trying to lower the price on something right now with all these comments.
You could go 2-8 in your next 10 before the deadline, and then you get to a point where it's like, maybe there's a move that could help us this year, but we're already 6 games under 500, we're not good enough anymore, so why even try now?
But that's out of their control. That's the basketball. You got to go make shots and play the games and beat other teams that are also trying to win. But it feels to me like you're talking about strategy, as if the Warriors clearly, like, they care more about 2028 than they do 2025. I don't agree with that at all. And just because they're talking, just because their lips are moving, does not mean that they're actually telling you what their plans are. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, but I do think that if they go 2-8 over the next 10, which is how many games you have before the deadline, then it informs them more on what any sort of a move would do. If
that's
you're 22-28 at the deadline, or 28-22, I do think that you can be motivated in different ways to make a move that might help you this year. I do kind of take to heart what you said about maybe they're more interested in life after Steph. I don't think that they are. I do look at where they are and think, and listening to Steph and Steve, and I think that they might be more interested in next season and next offseason making a big swing as opposed to the next 3 weeks.
And which frustrates me about that is because they said the same thing the last two trade deadlines about that. We're going to prepare ourselves for the optionality, the flexibility of a big star asking out. The big move they made was trading Jordan Poole away, getting Chris Paul in here. We got optionality with Chris Paul's contract. They let it expire. You got nothing as a result of that.
Yeah, but I'd argue from a financial standpoint, you didn't get nothing out of it. And I know behind the scenes, by the way, that they would argue that. They would argue that... what if I said it to you this way, Grandy? You want Jordan Poole on this team?
They'd be a better player with Jordan Poole on this team right now.
Say bye-bye to your boy Kuminga. They're letting him walk. Can't afford him.
Nick Friedell says they should trade him anyway.
Well, that's fine. But again, all I would ever ask is, or the way I think at least, is think about that stuff. Think about what X means when we get to Y. Like, I understand where you're coming from. I completely do. And like, oh, would Jordan Poole fit on this team? Or you hate the way the Jordan Poole situation went down? Sure. But just because it didn't turn into something that's, like, clearly tangible doesn't mean that doing it the opposite way would have been perfect or would have fit. It doesn't mean that. Like, that money that they're not paying Jordan Poole is allowing for them to reset the tax and potentially attack this in a different way over the remainder of Steph's career.
And you could say it's also part of the reason why they're a 500 basketball team right now.
You could argue that, yes.
So maybe that's, again, the point where they care a little bit more about life after Steph than they care about life right now.
I just wonder what, like, can or could be done, and we can look at the Lauri Markkanen experience and think about what it might have taken to swing Danny Ainge to make that trade. And would that have made you a markedly better team? And I also look at what they were able to do with Klay Thompson. They were able to make Klay into a sign-and-trade. It was a, what, 5 or 6 team extravaganza?
I think six.
And it netted you slow-mo, and it also netted you Buddy Hield, and you also were able to get De'Anthony Melton on the mid-level. So I do think incrementally they got better. Now it hasn't totally worked out, and Melton turned into Schroeder. And Hield has been hot and cold. Shout out Katy Perry. And Slow-Mo has been, I think, a little underwhelming.
Totally. He's had a lot of periods of time where he doesn't even play.
And, you know, so far there have been a grand total of 2 trades this NBA year, and the Warriors have made one of them. So you can't really say that they've been totally inactive, right?
Yeah,
they've made half the trades in the league.
Of everything you're saying, Grandy.
There's at least three now, Dibs. Suns acquired a big man.
Mm-hmm. I actually argue.
Yeah, and then the Schroeder, and I'm trying to remember what the other one
Lakers
was.
Lakers got...
Oh, my bad, yeah. Right. Dorian Finney-Smith. Yeah.
Right.
My fault. Yeah, so only a third of the trade.
I think the Warriors...
Get off your butt, Dunleavy.
The Warriors trade is actually the most significant of the three also. But here's what I'd say. I don't think anything that you're saying is talking crazy. The one area, if I was to zero in on one thing, I do not buy that they care more about the future than the now. And I do not buy that their behavior says that simply because they haven't taken this quote-unquote big swing, because that's not entirely up to them. You can't just walk into the room and be like, here for a big swing. Where do I give my $5 so I can take a big swing? There's got to be another team that wants it. You have to play in on all of the players involved. You know, you mentioned the Klay Thompson situation. That was largely based on Klay's emotions. More than anything else. So how do we factor that into the whole thing? Like, this is a very, very complex thing. And I would not argue that the right thing to do is to take big swings just to take them. You said Zion Williamson helps you now and in the future. He's never helped an NBA team in his life. And that's a fact. He has never helped an NBA team in his life. Just because of his draft status and big name, why is that suddenly going to change? And I'm not saying that it's a bad idea, but come on. That is filled with risk and all kinds of twists and turns.
Might be a guy, though, that you can buy low based on his contract situation as well. I do believe that there is an out clause based on the fact that he hasn't played enough games, and I don't think that he's made all of his weigh-ins.
Bobby Marks essentially said the rest of his contract is not guaranteed.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And if New Orleans really wants to get out of it, you might be able to get Zion for a lot less than you otherwise would have. Now, I'm not in favor of bringing him in because he's not available enough for me, although I know he's now been starting to actually, I don't know, play basketball of late, which is exciting.
He has played some. Yeah, he's got 3 more years on his deal. I'd be interested to learn more about the non-guaranteed portion of it. But even if it's non-guarantee, and then you just were like, oh, let's clear the books and we'll let him go. We've got a bunch of money to spend. On who? On who? And now, to make that happen, Wiggins is definitely gone and more. Like, I don't know, is Kuminga in that deal? Like, what's New Orleans or all of your first-round picks?
I'll put it in the trade machine, Mark, and get back to you.
That's a big swing if one of your thoughts is, and we can get rid of him if he's not good. Woof! You just gave up a bunch of assets to then give him up too? That's a healthy risk.
No doubt.
That's a healthy risk.
I just don't see a lot of great. I don't see any great options. I think that is the best.
For sure. We all agree on that.
The best potential option out of a group of options that are average, if not below average, across the board.
Let's just say that the Warriors, on a scale of 1 to 10, relative to the NBA, they're 20 and 20. They're probably a 5 right now, as currently comprised. Maybe they're a 6, depending on where you see them. If you can go from a 5 or a 6 out of 10 to a 6 or a 7 out of 10, that to me is the kind of trade I'm interested in because it won't cost you a bunch. And then in the offseason, if you can go from being a 6 or a 7 to a 7 or an 8, now you've got a chance to make a swing next year. That to me is much more feasible than trying to go from being a 5 or a 6 right now to being a 7 or an 8 at the expense of a lot and getting Jimmy Butler for a ton of money and maybe he won't work out, or Zion Williamson and maybe he doesn't want to stop eating, or you can pick whatever other big star you want.
That was Fridell's first comment yesterday. He's like, that man is huge.
Yeah.
Huge. And does not play a lot of basketball. Missed a plane last week. I mean, I don't know, man. I know that it lacks definition, and in this day of social media, we all are supposed to define big trade, no trade, this, that, the other. I really think you have to just take each one of these on their own merits and decide, are they smart? Is it a smart thing to do? And I don't think right now any big deal, it looks smart. And I think that they agree, which is why they said what they said. But there's also 3 weeks to go. And things can change very, very quickly. We love it when Sister Agnes calls from Charlotte. And that's exactly what she's done. Hello, Sister Agnes.
Hey, Willard and Dibs. Happy New Year.
To you as well.
Thank you. I watch a lot of clips of, like Klay Thompson when they first started out and Steph Curry. And Klay says that it took them 3 years to actually build chemistry. And what Curry said last night after the game is he said, we're a unique group. We have to play off each other. And I think what they're doing right now, I agree with Mark that they need another piece. Sure, they need another piece. They need another big. But they've got important pieces, kind of like the 22 championship. And I think they're trying to build that chemistry. Buddy Hield, Steve keeps putting him in dire situations so he'll perform. Ant Edwards last night was trying to describe that the whole team knows how to play with Steph Curry. So you don't want to break some of that chemistry up. You don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. So I think listening to Steph really made me go back and listen to some of those classic Klay Thompson, Draymond Green interviews where they tell you how they built that chemistry. And that's what I sense here. Yeah, they need another piece. They need another big. But they've got that Otto Porter kind of person. They've got that Sean Livingston kind of person. So I really appreciated Curry saying what he did, even though it was probably the most angry that I've heard him speak to to all of us Twitter fingers. But, you know, it was good. It was good for me to hear it. And I think we just have to – there's another point that he made, and that's the trust of the organization. This Warriors organization is special, and they are built on trust, and they just don't throw players under the bus. And so I think we have to appreciate it, even if it's kind of moving into another phase.
That's a great call, Sister Agnes.
Thank we you, love sister.
It. Yeah, thank you very much.
God bless.
Yeah, I mean, she's talking about Curry's comments, and let me ask you this. And Granny can weigh in on this later, too, because this is, I think, sort of this is parenthetical to the conversation that we were just having. So Steph Curry earlier this week says, I've got a responsibility to the Warriors. I don't want to crater the team. World goes crazy. He's waving a white flag. Then he comes out and goes, not waving a white flag. I couldn't be more intense on this particular group. We want to figure it out. Stop tweeting about a trade. And now we go crazy because we're like, Steph, why won't you demand a trade? Or why won't you speak the way? What do you want Steph to say? That's my question. What do you want him to say?
You want him to say, hey, front office, get me help. We're 20-20, and darn it, we're not good enough. I need more good players, because you see these bums around me?
I'm out on that guy. I see that guy all over the league, and I don't want him. I want this player.
And this player is never going to say that. And so all he said last night is, put down your trade machine, give us time to figure this out, and yeah, you got 20 days, Steph. You've got 10 games. And if you go 8-2, well then, now we're cooking. If you go 2-8, over the next 10 and we get to the deadline and you're 22-28, then what are we even talking about? So, yes, you need some time to figure it out, and you haven't had Draymond and you haven't had Pods, and Kuminga's out for at least another week or two, maybe three. So he's trying to figure it out with Lindy and Guy and Trace and, you know, Dennis, who's new. So, yeah, figure it out, Steph, but the clock is ticking.
We want to go to Sabrina, too, but Grandy, yeah, what do you want him to say?
Similar to what Dibs said, I want Steph Curry to be so maniacal about winning this year, the rest of his career, and I think he feels that way, but yeah. I just disagree when he says, and we have the utmost confidence that we can beat anybody right now. We have piles of evidence that suggests no, you can in fact lose to everybody.
But how do you know that when he says give us a minute to figure this out, he's not just talking about the 12 people on the bench? He's talking about the entire organization. He didn't say anything yesterday that dismissed the idea of a deal.
No, he didn't. It seemed to me though, it suggests that there's confidence in the group at the moment.
I mean, what's he gonna say?
But yeah, 12 more. Say? 12 more, 10 more games, 3 more weeks, 21 more days to figure this thing out. They've had 2.5 years, and they've just kind of been toiling in this middle ground the whole time.
And I totally get that frustration. I do not take any of that reality to mean, so go do something stupid. And I know you're not saying that either, but that's clearly what they feel has been presented to them so far. Stupid. That's what the marketing offer was. Well, that's stupid.
And I do think that they see as stupid a 3 or a 4 for 1 to bring in Jimmy Butler. If you're Steph and you see
this is a terrible
GP2
idea.
And Kevon and Wiggins, and you're thinking all three of you are going to be gone for Jimmy Butler, who's a good player. He's a competitor. He's a winner. He's going to come in and fight, but you're going to take three of your veterans who you've rolled with for championships in a long time to bring in a $50 million question mark?
Bye-bye depth, and your three best players are all hurt and in their mid-30s?
Right.
I mean, Sabrina in the city. Hi, Sabrina. Thanks for the call. What's up?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
We're good.
Good. I'm just going to add on to you, Willard, as far as, like, the panicking move. I think panicking is for the teams that are not just 2 or 2.5 games out of 5th or 6th. I haven't looked at the standings today, but I believe they're not that far from that position, right?
Two games right now.
What the Warriors... Two games. I mean, like, why would you make a panicky move? We knew what the Warriors were when they first started. Everyone was excited. The team was excited. They came out there with fresh legs. Buddy Hill was shooting out of his mind. We saw chemistry. We saw ball movement. We saw low turnovers. We saw high defensive plays. So we know what the Warriors can be. The only missing factor is that you got guys that's out of rotation right now. And Kuminga, who's your slasher, he's your guy off the bench that brings energy. You got Draymond. And then you had De'Anthony Melton, right? That missing piece. So if you're going to make a move, why don't you just make a move like that, a glue guy that can move the ball, that can hit the three when you need it, because we know Gary Payton's been having some issues in that section. So just do that. Don't go out and try to make a home run right away. And like what the other callers have said, now you're messing up your chemistry altogether. Give the team a chance to figure it out. Let Kerr figure it out. I mean, he's been having to play around with his rotations all season. That is difficult for a team going into the second half.
Sabrina, thank you. Yeah, it's a good call, and I think we'll talk more about it coming up. You know, and don't forget, I would love to see Jonathan Kuminga continue what he had started before he got hurt. Those last 5 games when he was scoring a lot of points, and they won 3 of those games, including wins over Memphis and Phoenix. Like, I'd like to see that get rebirthed.